Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God our Father. Amen. So who wanted a cookie? Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to get one for lunch, too. Yesterday, the boys and I made homemade bread in our house. It just felt like the kind of day to make bread. Any of you do that? Make your own bread in the house? If there's anything better than the smell of cookies, it might be homemade bread. And it did. It just filled the house with this aroma of bread. And of course, I start thinking of butter for the bread. You got to put something on there. The boys and I, we do not follow the wise advice of letting the bread sit before you cut it. We devour it like stray dogs. It just disappears. Jennifer's watching. Yeah. I'm eager also to get to Jen's parents' place for Thanksgiving. Jen's mom makes the best pumpkin pie, which I am now so very hungry for, with the sight of this plate. Thanksgiving meal is one of those meals there in Nebraska that takes forever to come about, right? And I'm not the guy making it, so I know it takes a while. But there we are waiting and waiting and waiting and wondering, when's this going to be done? We wondered with our bread, when's it going to rise? When's it going to be done baking? So we could get to the good stuff. Now, this is the time of year where we Christians keep hearing stories from the Gospels about Jesus returning. Week after week, we talk about this here in November. And with all the disasters and the tragedies and the senseless violence that we've heard about week after week after week, it makes us want to look up into the heavens and say, Lord, what's taking so long? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, of course, said, He'll come. He'll come at a moment you least expect it. Some expect it to happen right away. And I'm sure there are people out there who are counting the salt granules on a saltine cracker to determine the exact moment Christ will come back. Don't trust those people. And yet, for some of us, it feels like he might never come. What's the delay? What's taking so long? This is what's going on in our gospel reading. You heard it. A wedding story. Now, weddings back then were a lot different than they are today. The whole thing was this series of little pilgrimages, little parades that would travel through a community. So the bride and the bridesmaids and all of her family would be at her house waiting for the groom and all his friends and all his family to travel across town all together to her place. When he gets there, then both families travel to another place, wherever the wedding is going to be. So as they travel, there's a lot of music, there's dancing, it's just a continuous celebration that is journeying through a town. Everybody hears it. Everybody knows what's going on. And as you can imagine, the timing of such a thing is just unpredictable. You have no idea when the groom and his family is going to arrive. He just does. And so the bridesmaids are given the job of watch for him. When he gets here, tell us, because that's when the party continues. That's when we get to join in with what's going on. Now, this thing started in the evening, so obviously you need light. In the evening, it's only going to get darker. You're going to need light to continue on your journey. Remember, they didn't have street lights back then. Many of the small lamps that we know about would be kind of fit in your palm, maybe two hands. They were oil, so you'd need a lot of oil to keep a little tiny lamp like that going for a long period of time. You need a refill. And this sustenance, this extra oil, makes all the difference. For the night went long, so long that all of the bridesmaids fell asleep. There's no mention of a crazy bachelorette party or anything like that. No mischief. For whatever reason, the groom just takes forever to get there. And then, suddenly, he's there. He's here. He's here. Let's go. Let's go. The party continues. Get everybody. Get the lights. Get the lights. Oh, no. Why do we only have half the lights? After a long wait for the groom, so long that all the excited bridesmaids fall asleep. Now this, how do you think the bride's mother felt? How would your mom feel? Not happy. The foolish bridesmaids, boy, they are sent on a fool's errand. Did you catch the time in our reading? Midnight. They are sent to buy oil at midnight. Do you think they're going to find any? No, but that's where they go. Now, I have wondered for years upon years, why don't those wise women share? Aren't we supposed to share, you guys? Tell me, are we supposed to share or not? That's what my mother said. You remember how this works in the weddings? The journey is going to go to another site. If the wise women who have extra oil share and divide the oil that's left, will there be enough light to get there? No. Some light is better than no light, right? That's what happens. The foolish, the unprepared are sent away. Go buy oil at midnight, and the wise are invited along. The celebration continues. We're going to the wedding site. Now keep in mind, this is after midnight. This is a heck of a party, isn't it? The bridesmaids, the foolish ones, they come back later. My theory is that they come at dawn because really, again, who is selling oil through the middle of the night? But there they arrive at the site of the wedding and they knock on the door. Open the door, they yell. But the door is locked. And the Lord says, I don't know you. I don't know you. If you want nothing to do with the life of faith now, what good will it be later? Are you wise? Or are you foolish? The fool feels like Christ should have been here already. Loses interest. This is taking forever. It doesn't matter. The work of preparing the heart to live by faith week by week feels unnecessary. I mean, not every week anyway. Maybe every other week. Maybe once a month. Maybe every other month. Soon the oil is gone. Faith, that living necessity to hear a word from God week by week, day by day, fades into an afterthought. Other things grab the attention. The pursuits that you might find feel more gratifying than the pursuit of faith. They get more immediate results. After all, since Jesus is taking so long, I'm sure he will come back after I get interested in the faith again. The wise, what are they like? The wise are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be shaken. The wise know that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? The wise recall that Jesus said, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise person who built their house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." What propels the wise? They know their sin. They know their limited capacity to do everything that the Lord commands. Yet they know to whom they belong, to whom they cling, to whom they are anchored, to whom they are built upon. Week after week, day by day, the wise are drawn near to hear a good word, a remembrance of who they really are, a word of grace, a word of forgiveness, a word of Jesus and his cross for me, for you. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God strengthen you and keep you in the true faith, both now and forevermore. Amen upon amen. Because we have already confessed our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed earlier,